Well, this is going to be the last message in this series that I've been teaching through and talking about, I guess, not necessarily teaching through, but just talking about, as the Lord gave us that word on our 12-year anniversary back in September of last year about mining and about how this is a year, a time in this fellowship for us to be unearthing those things of value that God has placed in us. Those giftings, that anointing, those callings, the plans, the purposes that God has for us, His redeemed people. And so we discovered that grace is the fuel, God's power. If we're going to unearth the things of God, it's going to happen not because of our own strength or wisdom, but because of God's grace, His power. If we're going to see the things of God, the gifts of God, actually happen in and through our lives, it's not because we're all that in a bag of chips. It's because of God's powerful grace that is at work within us. And then we learned that we have to keep our focus. We have to keep our focus on the things of God. We have to keep our focus on God if we're going to step into the things of God. And that's a big one for us in this culture, because everything is grabbing our focus. Most of us are going to go home and we've got televisions, you got that phone in your pocket that's really good at distracting you. Well, maybe not you, because you're all holy and all of that kind of stuff, but it distracts me. But grace and focus can be easily wasted if we're lacking zeal. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Zeal. Title of today's message, I couldn't come up with a good name or a good title for the message, so bear with me on this. I'm going to throw out several different ideas that I had. One of them is, the real deal has zeal. Okay, so that's the one that's going to be on the screen right now. But other ones, I thought like, well, this is the zeal of a deal or something like that. And another one is, we need to be like the man of zeal, like steel, the man of steel, the man of zeal. Anyway, I tried, okay? So as silly as the names of the titles I came up with are, this topic is serious. It really is. And it's important. If we're going to walk in the things of the Lord, if we're going to be who God has redeemed us to be as His holy people, His royal priesthood, we need to understand this thing called zeal. We need to embrace it, and we need to walk in it. Last week, we looked at the 12 spies who came back with differing reports. Caleb's report revealed that he was a man full of zeal. Remember what he said? Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." That's coming from a man who has zeal, zeal for the Lord. Full of zeal. He's not afraid. It's not what his eyes are seeing. It's not about the circumstances. He knows God. He knows what God has said. He's gone. He's seen the promise himself. And he's full of zeal saying, let's go do it. Then later in life, at the age of 80, Caleb demonstrates this same zeal. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. He didn't just get all excited about God and have this God season of life and all of that, and then just kind of get back to regular old living. At age 80, check this out. He says, "I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out." Sent him out where? Into the promised land, right? "I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." Verse 12 says, this is in Joshua 14, by the way. Verse 12 says, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. Come on, now give it to me. I'm ready. I'm wanting. I'm 80, but I got a little bit left in the tank. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said. Again, God said it, so I want it. I'm going to do it. Another picture of a man full of zeal, the zeal of the Lord, the zeal for the Lord. So what is zeal? Well, here's how I want to look at it. Just as God showed us what love is, you want to know what love is? Look to the Lord. He demonstrated love to us. Just as God has shown us what love is, God has also shown us what zeal is. Point number one, the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Turn with me. Isaiah 9, verse 7. It says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He, prophesying of Jesus at this time, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And how's that going to happen? The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord will fulfill all the prophecies that have been spoken about the Messiah. How's it going to happen? How's God going to turn it all around? The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord will establish the eternal reign of Jesus the King. Not just, oh, right time, right place. No, it's the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. We see the same phrase used again in Isaiah 37, verse 32, where it says, for out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. Again, how's that going to happen? The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's the zeal of the Lord that guarantees that there will be a remnant. The zeal of the Lord. When I think of a remnant, I'm reminded of what Jesus spoke when he said, I tell you that you, Peter, are on this rock. You're Peter on this rock. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. Why not? The zeal of the Lord. So what is this zeal? Zeal is often defined this way, as focused desire characterized by passion and commitment. Focused desire characterized by passion and commitment. And again, just as we talked about, we learn what zeal looks like by looking to the Lord. The Lord demonstrated this passion and this commitment, this focused desire when he sent his one and only son to this earth to be the sacrifice, to be the propitiation for our sins. That was zeal, focused desire, passion, commitment to his plan, to his sovereign purposes, the zeal of the Lord. Jesus displayed zeal. His focused desire, it was characterized, it was lived out when in the Garden of Gethsemane he said this. He said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. That's a picture of the zeal of the Lord operating in the Messiah, in Christ himself. A focused desire, passion, commitment to the sovereign call and plan of God. I got my own feelings right now, what I'm dealing with, but it's not about that. Zeal supersedes all that. It's a picture of the zeal of the Lord. And Christ willingly and with great zeal went to the cross to take on the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. So it's the zeal of the Lord that saved us. focused desire, passion, commitment. Do you know nothing else could save us except God's own zeal? You can't save yourself. You can't want it so bad that you can just make it happen yourself. The zeal of the church, even, couldn't secure your salvation. The zeal of all the smartest people that have ever lived, all the scientists, all the brilliance, all the wealth of this land couldn't secure our salvation, couldn't accomplish taking you out of darkness into the marvelous light, making you a new creation. But the zeal of the Lord, that accomplishes it. The zeal of the Lord. My question for you today is, has your life been changed by the zeal of the Lord? Has your life been changed by the zeal of the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? Is your life changed because of God's zeal? Because of His passion, His commitment, His focused desire, because of His powerful work, because of His sovereign plans that He has done? Has your life been changed by the zeal of the Lord? Have you received what you couldn't produce in and through yourself? Have you? Everybody say yes. I like that. And if you can't say yes, today can be the day that you can say yes as you encounter the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord for you. The zeal of the Lord that would send His one and only Son to be a sacrifice for your sins, to pay a price that you cannot pay. The zeal of the Lord can accomplish that. Let's go to point number two. We also run into something in Scripture called zeal for the house of God. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. You're probably familiar with this scene, this passage of Scripture too. Again, John 2, verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in the temple courts, He found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So He made a whip out of cords. Yeah, Jesus did this. All right? No teddy bear, cowering Savior, no. So He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, He said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market." And at that moment, His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." A picture of Jesus being consumed with zeal for the house of the Lord. Why? Because God's house, His temple, was to be set apart and is to be set apart as holy. Set apart as a place to honor the Lord, to engage with God, a place to meet with the Lord, to worship Him, because He's worthy. And as we see in this scripture, in how Jesus handled this, God takes it pretty seriously, how we handle His temple. But I wonder if you recognize this picture. is what Jesus found in the temple on this day something that if we examined our own lives, we might find in our own lives? So we've been born again in Christ Jesus. Okay? And as those who are born again in Christ Jesus, this is crazy. It's interesting, but it's true. He now calls us, those made new, born again in Christ Jesus, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And just as the temple in Jerusalem was set apart to be holy as He is holy, we now, who have been made new, cleaned, the old has passed away, behold, the new has come. We now, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, are to be set apart for the Lord. You know, God calls us the royal priesthood. Thinking of temples, right? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit and we're the royal priesthood. And He calls us a holy nation, a set apart people who are peculiar, different from the world. Not living and thinking and acting and engaging and allowing things in that the world does. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people set apart for Him. The temple of the Holy Spirit. And our purpose now is to be a place, a life that's set apart for the Lord. It is. I know it's contrary to popular opinions, contrary to the world that we live in right now. You know, too often we just think of ourselves, we get born again. We're born again in Christ Jesus, and we just kind of snap on, you know, or put on the old I'm saved, you know, aspect of our lives, and we just go about life as normal. Allowing the same stuff in, engaging in the same kind of things, and we don't really realize what has just happened. We are new creations in Christ. We are now set apart as holy. It's not our own lives. It's not I who live. It's not you who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's like He's right there. What are we bringing in to the table that we're sitting at with Him? The zeal for the house of God consumed Jesus. And you can almost, those pictures, almost like he something snapped in him. And he said, no. This is not what happens in the temple. And I just think about that. I mean, look at your life. You're born again in Christ. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're set apart to be holy. When Jesus walks in and takes a look around, is He grabbing cords to make a whip? I mean, is He ready to turn some things over? He might be. And let me tell you this. If that's the case, let Him turn the things over and let Him drive the things out that need to be turned over and driven out of your life. And you don't mourn over it. It's the zeal of the Lord that's accomplishing that. It's the zeal for you, whom He went to the cross for, to make you new, and to set you apart for such greater things than all this garbage that the world is engaged in and doing. You know how tempting it is as a pastor when you read about zeal for the house of God to come up here and preach a message about how, man, you all need to be like volunteering 20 hours a week to the church and giving half of your income. That's zeal for the house of God. But that's not what God wanted me to talk about here. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He has zeal for us, His beloved, His redeemed. We're set apart for Him. That's incredible. It's astounding. It's What a privilege. What a privilege. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Romans 12:1. I believe 12:11, actually. Let's go to point number three. Point number three is just a question for all of us. Do you have zeal? Do you have zeal? I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon here. He says, God enters into the plan of glorifying Christ and making to himself a people with great zeal. Look at those things. And they fit together. Okay? They fit together. God enters into the plan of glorifying Christ. It's Jesus. It's his Son, the Messiah, glorifying the Son and making to himself a people, he's speaking of the church, with great zeal. Not just a people that get the I'm going to heaven card and sit and consume and watch and observe and you know, 2 out of 4 Sundays is pretty good, you know, type thing. And I'm busy all week anyway. It's what the Lord showed me. The zeal of the Lord. And we just talked about the zeal of the Lord. I believe best pictured in Jesus himself coming to this earth and going to the cross and accomplishing the sovereign plan of the Father. The zeal of the Lord should have us responding with zeal for the Lord. I believe if we've encountered the zeal of the Lord, if we really understand it, if we've really been changed by the zeal of the Lord, then we will naturally have zeal for the Lord. So have you truly encountered and embraced the zeal of the Lord? Again, that zeal that went to the cross, that bore your sins. Have you embraced that? Has that changed you? If so, the result will be a zeal for the Lord. Again, God enters into the plan of glorifying Christ and making to himself a people with great zeal. When Christ is glorified and we understand that, then what happens? We become one of those people who have zeal for him. It's kind of like an if-then. See, I used to be a computer programmer, okay? I was a COBOL programmer. That's back in the day when, you know, I'm not trying to be a male chauvinist. This is just a statement, okay? That's when men were programmers, you know what I'm saying? Now, there were women on our team, too. I'm not saying that. That's back in the day when, you know, you had to get down to the nitty-gritty when you're going to program something. You know, it wasn't drag and drop and click and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying. If-then statements. I think I preached last week about focus. I need to get focused right now. Zeal for the Lord. Zeal of the Lord results in zeal for the Lord. What does this look like? What does it mean for me, for you to have zeal for the Lord? I believe Romans 12:11 can help us identify if we have zeal. Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal. All right? Never be lacking in zeal. Oh, but I'm just in a season where I'm just kind of just going through life right now, and I'm not really excited about the things of God. I'm really okay with that. You know, that just happens. We go through seasons, and it's okay. God gets to the answer. Wait a minute. Scripture just said, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so what we're seeing in this passage is a definition of what it looks like to never be lacking in zeal, to have zeal. Having zeal is keeping our spiritual fervor and serving the Lord. Zeal is associated with spiritual fervor and service unto the Lord. I believe here's another picture of what that looks like. It's found in Colossians 3, beginning verse 23. It says, whatever you do, who's doing some whatever throughout the week? Everybody's doing a little bit of whatever, right? Everybody's got a little whatever going on. You got a little whatever going on. We're all doing our little whatever all through the week, right? So whatever that is, my whatever is different than your whatever, by the way. You're not necessarily supposed to do my whatever. I'm not supposed to do your whatever. I thank God that I'm no longer doing the computer programming whatever. You know what I'm saying? We all got our whatevers. But whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Man, that jumps out and just screams at me, with zeal. With zeal. Do whatever God's called you to do. Whatever He's graced you with, do it knowing that the zeal of the Lord has saved you, has given you breath for that day, ability, opportunity for that moment. And how are you going to use it? You're going to use it with great zeal to glorify Him. Not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Someone once said, I saw this week, I want to share this with you. Someone once said, I was impressed several years ago when I read that Eugene Ormandy, check this out, dislocated a shoulder while directing the Philadelphia Orchestra. I do not know what they were playing, but he was giving all of himself to it. And I have to ask myself, sadly, did I ever dislocate anything? Even a necktie, he says. So have you ever dislocated anything in your service to the Lord? I mean, that's a serious question. I read the Bible, I see a whole lot of people, everybody in the Bible had things dislocated in their lives as they served the Lord. A whole lot of dislocation, a whole lot of things. What does spiritual fervor and service unto the Lord look like? Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, yet no, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Zeal, spiritual fervor, an understanding of who we are right now and how that changes the way we think and the way we live our lives. Not for ourselves, but for the one who had zeal even for us. I was talking with Pastor Tim this week, and the statement came up about how we become what we behold. We become what we behold. And so I thought about it this way as I was looking at what the Lord had on my heart for us today. When we behold God's zeal for us, we will become those who have zeal for the Lord. Hallelujah. My question is, are you beholding the zeal of the Lord? Are you reminding yourself of the zeal of the Lord? If you do, if you look upon the zeal of God, if you look upon Jesus and who He is and what He has done, you will become one who has zeal as well. When you behold the Word of God, you'll start becoming like this. When we behold the Lord, who is holy, then we start becoming holy as He is holy. Scripture says that. Isn't that crazy? It almost seems impossible. Be holy as I am holy. Be holy as the Lord is holy. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, I love this passage of Scripture. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong. God's eyes are running, looking all around so that He can show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. I thought about that passage as I'm thinking about the zeal of the Lord and a people who have zeal for the Lord. And when God finds a people, a person and a people who have zeal, who've been so affected by His zeal so affected by what he's done that we have zeal for him. God uses men and women of zeal who are fully given to him. Here's a picture of God showing himself strong through a person of zeal, and we're going to close. Martin, he was a Cambridge University student. He was honored at only 20 years of age for his achievements in mathematics. In fact, he was given the highest recognition possible in that field. And yet he felt an emptiness inside. I get that. I'm not a math guy. So every time I do math, I feel emptiness also. So I get that. But this is like a math whiz. Still, he has an emptiness inside. He's like the smartest guy in the room, but he has an emptiness inside. He said that instead of finding fulfillment in his achievements, he had only grasped a shadow. After evaluating his life's goal, Martin sailed to India as a missionary at the age of 24. Don't tell me that young men and women can't do big things for the Lord. Don't tell me that young 20-something-year-olds have to sit in front of a computer and play computer games. Don't tell me that. Don't make excuses. I heard somebody saying, you know, the thing was, you know, a man's brain isn't fully developed, frontal lobe isn't fully developed until they're 25. Now they're pushing it out to 28. I think it's a cop-out. I'm going to tell you right now. At age 25, I was married. I was holding down a job. I was being a man. I'm just saying. Here's a guy right here. Smartest guy in the room, listening to the Lord and being a man and going to India, doing what God had called him to do. Not what was going to make him rich and famous, but what God had called him to do. When he arrived in India at age 24, he prayed, "Lord, let me burn out for you." In the next 7 years that preceded his death, he translated the New Testament into three different Eastern languages. These notable achievements were certainly not passing shadows. Somebody so overcome by the zeal of the Lord that they live a life of zeal for the Lord and for the things of the Lord. And so just think about this. Like Martin, are you willing to use your life for the Lord? Are you willing to allow God to unearth the things that he has put into you? Are you willing to actually step in to the giftings and the callings that the Lord has you here for on this earth right now? Don't wait. Today's upside-down, cynical world, people are often called overly zealous. Like being overly zealous or too zealous is a bad thing. It's like those people who say you're too heavenly-minded to be any earthly good. And I'm like, you're too earthly-minded to be any earthly good. I read this response about people being overly zealous. They responded by saying it's better for a pot to boil over than to never boil at all. Better for your life to boil over for the Lord than to never boil at all. Are you boiling right now for the Lord? Let's take communion at this time. I want to invite those who are serving to come up. I just think it's so appropriate that we're doing communion this morning. As the Lord had said that when we really grasp the zeal of the Lord, that's when we start growing in zeal for the Lord. And communion is one of those things that allow us to behold the zeal of the Lord, to behold the work of God. And it's no accident that the Lord says to do this often. I want to invite you, even right now, you can start leaving your row off to your left, coming down and grabbing the elements. There's two different types. There's one that's prepackaged. There's another that has two different cups. In the top cup is the juice, and the bottom cup is the bread. You can take either one of those and then return going clockwise into the right side, the opposite side that you left your aisle. And so communion really is an opportunity to behold the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord that would accomplish God's sovereign plan to save those lost in sin. Even as you're taking the cup and as you're taking the bread, I want you to focus and behold what Christ has done for you. Behold the length that He's gone to for you.